Joining us on the line from Israel is Dr. Mordechai Kedar, an Israeli political analyst and commentator. Mordechai, thanks so much for chatting with us. Are you satisfied with how the Iranian war has ended? At least at this point, it seems as if it has ended.
No, I think if Israel could, Israel could continue with the war some more days in order to make sure that the Iranian army and security organizations are totally grounded, and maybe it would make the way of the rebels in Iran much easier to topple the regime. Unfortunately, President Trump didn't like this idea, and he more or less forced Israel to stop the war in order to enable the Mullah regime to remain alive and kicking, and unfortunately alive and killing as well, because during the last week, many in Iran felt that the regime is weak enough to run to the streets in order to demand the regime change. But the regime was shooting into the people, killed hundreds of them during the last few days. And anyway, there are like between 50 and 70,000 political prisoners in Iran anyway. And unfortunately, because of this American demand, the regime of Iran remained. And as a result, we are more than sure that in a few years they will resume their nuclear program and the missile production as well.
And that's exactly my next question, is how extensive is the damage to Iran's nuclear project? I mean, we hear Israeli officials saying that it caused significant damage, but only for the near future. And then Americans are saying that the strikes may have delayed Iran's nuclear program by a few months. And Iran says it's still assessing. So or it seems that the problem hasn't been dealt with. We've just bought some time.
Well, first of all, I think that everybody agrees that the program was not totally destroyed. It is damaged, whether heavily damaged or severely damaged, or I don't know how you measure these things. The problem is that since the Iranian regime remained as it was so far, I'm more than sure, and everybody is more than sure, that they will see what was damaged and they will rectify it in a way which will enable them to acquire nuclear weapons after Trump. And this is the problem. We plan to be here for eternity, while they are planning to erase us altogether. And I think only for this, only because of this saying that they death to Israel, the regime should have been toppled long ago.
I mean, we're hearing from the regime that they say they will rebuild, which is exactly what is the problem. It seems that the only answer really would have been regime change. But could Israel have insisted on that? I mean, it wasn't really Israel's responsibility, or could Israel have actually carried out those strikes and brought about regime change?
Well, regime change is some kind of legal problem. One state cannot declare, at least you can do
exactly.
It, but you cannot declare. There is a little problem with this when it comes to the international community and the international conventions, judicial conventions, and all these things. This is the problem. But this is why it was not one of the objectives, neither from the Israeli side nor from the American side. If it would happen, it would happen. But you cannot declare that this is your objective.
Okay, so Israel couldn't declare that its objective was regime change, but Israel did carry out very precise strikes in which I understand a number of nuclear scientists and a number of the Iranian leadership was killed. Why was the Ayatollah left alive?
I really don't know. Either because he was hiding too deeply in the, under the ground, or because Israel refrained from doing it because the Americans did not like this regime change business. I have no idea. You have to ask Netanyahu about this. He might tell you.
When I first spoke to you on, I think it was Friday, or it was just after the attack had happened, and not only you, a lot of the Israeli analysts that I chatted with, and general Israelis, there was this sense of history being made of, yes, there were Israelis who were killed by the Iranian missiles, but it was stopping a genocidal regime. Are you still feeling so upbeat, or do you feel that that the war has actually not really achieved much?
Look, a war is something which you usually, you know how you start. The war is the mother of vagueness, as it said. You never know how war will end, because there are too many partners in this war. Too many variables are unexpected. Too many things emerge during the war which you don't expect them. And it's a matter of uncertainty and vagueness. So to tell you that we achieved all the goals, if we succeeded to postpone the time when Iran will acquire nuclear weapons for a few years, it is good, because what we knew is that Iran is about to acquire nuclear weapon within days. And this was canceled.
In your opinion, what are the chances of regime change in Iran?
Every day brings us closer with one day to the regime change, which will inevitably happen, mainly because of two facts. One is that the regime is hated by 95% of the population. Only more than 5% want this regime, because the people in Iran are rather secular. Most of them don't see a mosque from within, ever. They don't like this religious rule over them at all. This is one thing. Second thing, because of the ethnic complexity of Iran, there is no Iranian nation. There are Iranian citizens, but there are many ethnic groups in Iran. There are Persians, there are Arabs in the Ahwaz, there are Baluchis, there are Kurds, there are Azerbaijanis, there are Turkmens, there are Luris, Kashgais, Bakhtiaris, Mazandaranis, Kaspianis, and more groups. And therefore, since there is no nation, I'm more than sure that one day we'll find ourselves seeing Iran fragmented, just like what happened with the Soviet Union, what happened with Yugoslavia, what happened with Czechoslovakia, which all fell apart along ethnic lines. The same thing will be in Iran sooner or later.
How would you have liked to have seen things end with Iran in terms of the war?
That Iran, I would like to see Iran collapse, fragmented to democratic free countries, not under Persian hegemony, which oppresses them. You know, when people are demonstrating in the streets against the regime and against the oppression, they are being hung up with cranes in the streets. Paula, you know, are you willing to be hung up with a crane?
I'd rather not.
In the street?
I'd rather not.
Yeah, of course. and this is how people are going to school. Kids are going to school while they are seeing in the streets crane with some people are hung up.
Oh, yeah.
Because these people, the regime didn't like them. This is, at least in the Ahwaz, this is a daily scenery.
Mordechai, since Friday, since the war started, six people have been hanged. I mean, talking about hanging, accused and convicted of spying for Israel. We obviously don't know who the six are, but this was a Mossad operation that understandably must have taken years to prepare. I mean, you talk about in a few years' time, we're just going to have to go through everything again. I mean, I guess my question is, the Mossad spent so much time to organize what we witnessed these last 12 days, 13 days. How are we going to be able to do it again?
Look, these six people, first of all, I don't know if they were really agents of the Mossad, or there could be some dissidents anyway who were hung up claiming that they are the Mossad, Mossad agents. Don't forget that the regime got a big blow into his face because of what happened. Everybody in Iran knows very well that the Iranian state is heavily penetrated by the Israeli intelligence, by the Mossad and other wings of the intelligence. And look,
but will the Mossad be able to do an operation like that again in a few years? I mean,
I'm more than sure, because you don't depend only on six people who were found allegedly and hung up. Believe me, what Israel knew about Iran required dozens, if not hundreds, of people who collaborated with Israel through the years and gave Israel all this information. Look how many targets were targeted by the Israeli planes and drones. Look, Israel had a drone basis on the Iranian soil, operating against Iranian targets. Do you understand what it says? Israel had a base of drones, and it's not something which you can hide in your pocket. You need like 200 or 300 meters runway. You need a storage. You need a place to repair these drones. And these drones are big, are like 20 meters long. The wings are 20 meters long. All these things which were flying above Iranian targets and shooting them from the air, you know?
Mm.
This is something which is mind-boggling. You know what, Paula? Many books will be written about this operation, and movies will be produced. These will be, you know, mind-boggling things.
Mordechai, the Houthi problem in Yemen, how do you think it can be solved?
Only by the local people, who will be sick and tired from what the Houthis are doing, and they will act against them. I believe that nobody from the outside, the Saudis failed, and Americans failed, and the Israelis were not more successful. Yes, we can target all kinds of targets, like the Hodeidah harbor and other harbors and other targets, but the people, those who are launching those missiles, are there hiding in the caves, in the mountains, and no country is willing to send boots on the ground to Yemen. Or if the Yemenites will not get their act together to work against or to act against the Houthis, it will continue to bring the hell to the Yemenites before all the others.
And lastly, Mordechai, a lot of people say that Netanyahu has redeemed himself after the October 7th catastrophe with this Iran strikes. Do you agree with that? And do you think that Netanyahu should lead Israel for a few more years, or is it time for someone new?
Look, first of all, right now, when I'm looking at the Israeli gallery of politicians, nobody sees anyone even getting close to his magnitude. And you know what, Paula, let me tell you a secret. Don't tell anyone. I've never voted for Netanyahu.
I won't tell anyone, but I mean, one or two people have heard you.
Yeah. Nobody can deny that the man was right all those years. People thought that he's talking about Iran in order to divert the public attention from his own personal issues, the files. And you know what? Today, it is so ridiculous. The man is destroying a superpower like Iran, and now he has to go to court to tell the court how come his wife is walking in the street with the Bugs Bunny. I'm telling you, this is what this trial is about. It is craziness because of the prosecution here who looked for, because they are all a bunch of leftists, and they don't like the Israeli government since, and they keep failing in the elections. So they decided to act against the right side of the political map for the courts, which are anyway held by the left. So this is a political struggle under judicial code, no more.